This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh, are you trying to get your mug beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use, unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like, they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're gonna love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings. If you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're gonna love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her.
Welcome to Drag Her, the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race podcast in the whole internet. Fuck what you heard, because this is the only podcast where you can hear a queer person talk about a drag queen. I'm Mono Agapian, and I'm joined by the lovely, amazing comedian, diva, actress, voiceover artist, the one and only, my Judy, my gal, my girl, Oscar Montoya.
Hi, I'm back. Back again.
And she brought the back rolls.
Excuse me?
They're trying to pull. She's trying to pull the patch. I can't be bothered. I don't entertain stunts, tomfoolery, foolishness, and drama. Oscar, hi.
Hi.
What's up, you angel? How you doing?
Well, you know, I'm good. Ready to talk some Vegas. What's the name of the damn show? Vegas Review?
Yes. RuPaul's Drag Race, Vegas Review. We are talking about each and every episode here on the podcast. And let me tell you, it might have been a mistake.
So it's on VH1, right? Obviously.
It's on VH1.
Why is it not on World of Wonder is my question.
Oh my God. Like, I don't know.
What's going on there?
The wizardry and legal obstacle courses that the World of Wonder shows must be jumping through between different production companies and networks seems like a nightmare. It's certainly a nightmare for us, the viewers, because we don't know where to watch your damn shows.
Seriously. It's just like, also like, to me, the Drag Race world is very much like, you either have a VH1 account or you have a World of Wonder account.
Yes.
You can't
yes.
have both. It's like you can't be into Star Wars and Star Trek. You got to pick a side, right?
They've made it really hard.
Why can't we have it all in one place?
I don't know.
I'm mad. You got me mad. I'm heated.
Because if you stay mad, you ain't have to get mad.
Mm-hmm. And I'm bitter. been mad.
I think you should be mad. It's very confusing. It's very weird that you have international drag races on World of Wonder.
Right.
But not the old ones. It feels like there should at least be like one or two old seasons on there.
Some. Ugh.
Why are we paying, y'all?
It just feels so weird. You know what? Ugh. My name is Oscar Montoya, and I got something to say.
You don't taste that. You don't taste that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, VH1 and World of Wonder, I'm sorry. I don't want to be rude and say you have Dookie in your mouth.
It's okay. I'll say it. You got Dookie in your damn mouth.
You got Dookie in your damn mouth. You need to brush your teeth. I've had it. No, I've had it. I mean, that's pretty annoying. I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that. In other gay news, our commander-in-chief is hanging out with Miss Coventina. What do we think?
Oh, yes, yes. It was very much a George W. Bush and Ellen DeGeneres hangout session that they had.
Right. That, oh my God.
It's like, I don't know her. I don't know Corona. I don't know Miss Rona. Meanwhile, they're all making out.
They're friends. Mm-hmm. Well, I have too much to say on it, so I have nothing to say about it.
Yes, exactly.
We are living in unprecedented times.
It's just so weird, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
2020 is just a series of curveballs. It is, expect the unexpected this year. We're almost done with the year.
Expect the unexpectable. Yeah.
And still, this year keeps surprising the shit out of me. Like,
I know. What
is December 31st going to look like?
I don't know. I think it's, I have a knot in my stomach, like, constantly. This whole, just because I'm so confused. I don't know what's going on. We're living in a cartoon fairy tale world where, like, the king who denied us everything now gets all the resources. It is some goofy Game of Thrones nonsense we're living in.
I mean, truly, it has been such an emotional roller coaster. Just this week. I mean, this whole year, yes, but like this, it's been concentrated this week. I have never experienced such a high in my life after receiving the news that Trump had COVID. I was like,
that was a big
high. 12, bitch. I was happy. Ooh, I was singing and dancing. And then when he was like cheating, oh, well, but what did I expect? You know what? Egg on my face for expecting.
I know.
Anything like he really just like used the resources he condemned.
Yes.
To make him so, ooh. And then I plummeted down. I was like, oh, shit. Well, yeah.
Yeah. It was a real high and a low for me. It was I was feeling on cloud 18, as you said. Mm-hmm. It was nuts. I felt like I was in a K-hole on meth, crack, and pills. I was shitting rainbows, but yeah, now it's back to earth. Well, I'm glad our queer community will stand strong and vote this fall.
Yes, please.
That's all. I turned my ballot in yesterday. Can you believe her?
Yes! I'm proud of you, bitch.
Thank you! Well, we're ready to move on. Who gives a shit? Let's talk about this stupidity.
The world's on fire. Let's just get on with it.
Let's talk about a fake drag housewife TV show, huh?
This show is weird, Mono.
It's so weird. Well, yeah, tell me, what's your overall opinion
on... This show is fucking weird.
This show's contribution to drag. What? Mm-hmm. What is your thoughts?
Well, I heard about the show. You talked about the show, and I was like, what? This is a show? This feels so weird. This feels like a special to me. And then they're really trying to make it, like, legit, like a housewife sort of franchise. They got six girls from All Stars. Mm-hmm. Granted, all of them, it's a good cast. I'll tell you this. It's a good cast.
Yes.
These six queens really have something to say and all play a very specific and important role. I don't think any of the six is sort of like a weak link. Mm-hmm. As, you know, was discussed in the last episode. Mm-hmm. But I think they all have something very important and they fill a very specific level of drag that I like.
Yeah.
However, this sort of like, can we say, put upon drama that happens in this show is so like,
yeah,
this is very much Real Housewives. This is very Selling Sunset. This is like,
my God,
over manufactured reality TV. This could have been on E, honestly.
Truly. I mean, the TLC, maybe.
Ooh!
Ooh! That is the fucking read. That's such a.
I felt that, bitch.
That's such
I
a read. That. That's a novel, bitch. Wow. That is too much. Listen, though.
Delegated to the learning channel.
Ooh. Ouch. Where you can learn how to go to four weddings and hate them all. Listen, I mean, it's crazy. There is so much drama. And I mean, this
so
episode.
So much. It's so fake. Much.
And this episode drama. Opens with footage from the last 3 weeks. They like, yeah. you saw it all so back to back.
I saw it all in one sitting. And you know what? I didn't have to.
No.
Because they tell you every damn thing in the first 5 minutes of the show.
They rehash the footage in every episode of what happened in the past episodes.
I mean, if I need to see another clip of RuPaul saying, you know, your pussy's on fire, I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. If I have to hear again about how, Vanjie's having a hard time dating. And that is like, that is like the sinking Titanic on this series. Like, it is treated with the gravity.
It's a reference you use that Vanjie uses quite often.
Oh, yeah.
Vanjie loves saying
she does
saying
love
some
the Titanic.
Titanic reference. She said it like 7 times already.
She loves a romantic novel or a romantic film. That's
bitch, and Titanic was not a novel. It happened in real life, bitch. You so stupid.
I have a visual novel here.
She got Page the illustrated one. Book, huh?
Oh, my God. That's Kathy Bates getting on the ship. So dumb.
Oh, look, and it's Billy Zane looking evil as hell.
Oh my God. But kind of fine.
Like, ooh, kind of, bitch. Ooh. With the guy liner, he's got that natural guy liner.
Oh, he does. You're right. He has like thick eyelashes.
Ooh.
Guy liner.
I'm on
he's
board.
He's got
I'm
that evil dick. I'm ready for mm-hmm. that. Evil, mm-hmm. haunted,
that insidious dick.
Corrupted, indicious. Okay, I have to go home. So. Asia left the slumber party.
Oh, boy. In her Christmas onesie.
Uh-huh. That was so dramatic. So wild. Like
it was, but honestly, it was real. It felt real.
It did.
It felt like a real moment.
That was real. And that's what I couldn't tell if she's mad at the actual conversation or she's mad at the show. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I think she's like, well, I mean, Asia in particular is really going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Like she is struggling.
She is struggling so much, and like I have to admit, I also am. I'm agreeing with the girls when it seems like this is a lot of drama for a rogue conversation.
But what's annoying at the same in the same token is that they say they're sort of self aware with the constructed drama that's happening because they're like, this is high school, this is too, and yet they perpetuate.
Yes.
All
yes.
of that nonsense.
Yes. They do perpetuate
which
the nonsense.
Which is hysterical to me.
It's really funny that they're like, I can't believe there's so much drama. Let's sit in a room for 2 hours and talk
shit.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's
but
wild.
Yeah, poor Asia is going through it. The other thing that I'm realizing is watching the queens not in a competition format is very interesting to me because it recontextualizes a lot of these queens.
Mm-hmm.
To me, mm-hmm. like for example, Asia, I didn't know that Asia was such a perfectionist and
me
sort
neither.
Of like a little bossy Betty. Like I
she's
had no,
a bossy Betty.
I had no idea. And like, yes, I understand where that's coming from.
Uh-huh.
Because she is like, she does come from like the pageant world. You know what I mean? So she's uh-huh. constantly seeking that perfection.
Uh-huh.
But I was a little disappointed with how she was so unwilling to just like have fun and be silly.
Yes. I mean, it's funny because you're right. We see her in the competition and we're like, wow, she's focused. She wants this. And now maybe in the show, we're like, oh, I see. This is kind of just like how you live, which
yes,
it's not wrong. It's just intense.
Intense. And I would even say like on Drag Race, she seemed like she had much more of a carefree attitude.
Yes.
Like weirdly enough, there's bigger stakes to me, it seems, on the Vegas residency than on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I mean, because now this is work. I mean, that is real. There's a small cast. As we know, you know, there were new people coming in the cast either way. Because there was going to be a little bit of a shuffling cast, I think, no matter what, to this show. I don't know exactly how that works. But, like, we know for a fact there were other people there, including India Farah, And thank God. And
the queen we all need.
I mean, who is India Farah in this show? Never mind. Never mind. if India's not here, I'm not interested.
Okay, Laganja. If it's not India, I'm not interested.
Oh my God. Las Vegas is kind of like your vagina. God damn it.
I went to Las Vegas where they film RuPaul's Vegas Review. And it was kind of dry. Kind of like your vagina.
Oh my God. And then the fucking lady sewing, crocheting, who's also scandalized. Oh, okay, so I do agree. So now we're at the part of the show where it's 4 hours before the show's going to start. Asia's there, and she is like a thief in the night. She's there to, like, clear her station.
Yeah.
It is wild. Yes, Asia feels
would
bad.
Would you have done that?
Would I have done that?
Because here's the thing. I see a lot of you. I see a lot of you in Asia.
I know.
Like, you give me a lot of Asia vibes.
I know.
But the good parts of Asia.
I'm always ripping off my slumber party onesie. No, I mean, honestly, I get that. And I literally said to myself, I was like, I'm kind of Asia-y. I could see me getting in that headspace, which honestly makes me want to, like, reevaluate myself. But I could see me getting in that headspace where I just shut down. Mm. I could see that of, like, shut down, don't eat. I can't even talk to y'all. But this reminds me that you can't do that. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're doing a show together. Even to get on stage and look at each other and pretend like you're having fun on stage to me is way more torture than just having the tough talk. And
right.
You know?
Yeah. There is some validity to the idea that they keep force feeding into our heads, our brains, our mouths, our ears and eyes. Okay. That idea of show family.
Okay,
right?
Poet
they talk
Laureate.
About show family.
Okay.
Call me my Angelou. but the idea of show family, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And there's some truth to that. However, they're not handling it either. Like, they're not mm-hmm. handling it in the best way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't think anyone is handling this correctly.
No, this show will not exist if someone handles it well.
You're right. You're right.
It will not exist. They need Derek to go in there and be like, Derek.
Oh my God, motherfucking
make
Derek
this
Barry.
Weird. Make this crazy. And
I think Derek Barry was like, y'all want, I'll make this weird. I'll do it. And then does it. And the producers, even the producers are like, okay, Derek, you need to tone it down. And Derek's like, no, I got this. You want weird? I'll make it weird. Hold on. Stand by.
Stand by. And another thing.
Derek is so, oh my God.
She's
oh
very, and another thing, where you're oh like, oh Lord. No, we haven't even reached that part of the debate.
Seriously, yeah, we'll get to that.
Asia feels punched in the stomach. She feels exhausted. She feels like she's in a desert by herself, and she is, because she's where she is geographically. And Asia is leaving like she broke up with them. That just really blew me away. Now
to
Naomi.
Me, so,
yeah, talk
I
to
know.
Me.
To me, it felt so weird for her to move downstairs. Like, did she talk to anyone about going down there? I mean, we find out later, spoiler alert, that it's like some sort of violation.
Yeah.
But it's like the dankest. I mean, it was so sad. It was like there was no light at all. It was some cornered,
holy shit,
curtained off area. It was
made
so
UCB's
sad.
Green room Ooh. Look gorgeous.
It made the UCB green room the Taj motherfucking Mahal.
It was just like a curtain. It was sad.
It was so sad.
It was sad. And they were like, you can't be here. You're not allowed here. Just so sad. So Naomi's like, hey, do you feel like I love the way Naomi handles herself. We talk about this a lot on this pod.
I'm a huge Naomi. I've been a Naomi fan since All Stars. Since season 8.
Yes.
But All Stars 3 was, four, I should say, not 3. All Stars 4 was the moment that I truly, that I was like, okay, Naomi, I think, is like one of my top 3 favorite queens of all time.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's incredible.
For someone that's like very young and sort of an asshole, she's like amazing. She's a great asshole. Yeah, she's a perfect asshole.
She's just like truly real business, and I am here for it.
Mm-hmm.
She's just really real about the business. I love it. And she asked very directly, do you feel like you've been in a bad mood in the dressing room? You know, opening the door. And Asia's like, I am stressed. I do 8 scenes in the show and you guys only do 3.
Right. Flex.
That's a big flex. That's a big
subtle
flex.
It's a subtle flex.
I suppose she's the host. I suppose. And she says that we just like communicate differently. Wait, here's a real question. Would you rather do the host part or?
Hell no.
I already know the answer to this.
Absolutely not. Yeah. I would never want Asia's job.
It is at times a thankless job.
At times.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
At times.
You're so right. We've both hosted shows on stage and it's thankless. Like you make
really
the show
is.
Happen. You make the show happen and then everyone else just kind of gets to show up and pop off.
I mean, the best part of hosting the show that we host is getting to perform, for me anyway.
Uh-huh.
So
I
like that,
and I'm very Asia because I like hosting.
You do like hosting, but you're good at it. You do it well.
Thank you. I do. I enjoy it. I enjoy being able to, I don't know, fuck around with people and kind of be present and get a laugh off of what's happening in the moment. But when it goes
but
south,
but you like that structure. You like that discipline. You're like,
that's true.
I think you thrive in that. You know. Wait, what's your sign?
Virgo.
Oh, bitch. Okay. Well, there. Case closed. Mystery solved. Okay.
Mystery solved. You don't have to call Mrs. What's that bitch from Murder, She Wrote? What's that? What's her character name?
Angela Lansbury?
Yeah, but what's her character name?
Bitch, her characters are Angela Lansbury. Every role she's ever done.
That's
Beating
right.
the Beast?
That's Angela.
Not Mrs. Potts. That's Angela Lansbury.
I've never heard of Mrs. Potts. Who's that? So they communicate differently. Naomi says, you're a fucking, in her confessional, she says, you're a fucking grown man. You're older. You're older than me. Oh, my God.
It's that level of shade that I appreciate in Naomi.
I know.
So and, matter of fact, just like, I'm young, you're old, you're a man.
Yeah. And I
how
get
she
it.
Called, how she called Nebraska unfierce.
Oh, yeah. She's like, just because you're tall does not mean you're fierce. It's
but can
so
I just
good.
Say the one thing that I hate about Naomi is her look in drag in
Stop.
The Talking Heads.
The housewife look.
What in the matronly hell is that look?
I don't know, but she is.
She
is,
looking like Britney Spears in the Womanizer video.
Oh
like,
my God,
I think she's been hanging
does.
Out with Derek Barry a little too long.
That's
she
right.
Looks, that's the drag she's giving me. Womanizer video.
Yeah, I'm getting, she's off to her job at Oof. Cutco. Oof. She's got to sell some knives to some unsuspecting suburban moms.
It is so ugly.
I mean, it feels like it's on purpose, right? Like, it's, right?
That's like the sort of middle of the road executive realness look every fucking drag queen does
executive,
in a ball.
Executive actual realness.
Yeah. That's right. That's it.
Category is no fantasy.
Yeah.
No drama.
Reality. Executive reality. That's the word.
Sobering looks on the runway. Oh my God. So
she's giving us nonfiction look.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is so fucking real. Docu-series. Okay. So Cameron's now at her apartment. She's talking about her boyfriend and how.
I mean, this was Cameron's episode.
This was Cameron's episode completely. And I'm going to say, I'll say it now. It leads us to what I would actually, I'm going to say this is the realest scene in the series I've seen so far.
Okay.
Like in terms of drama, the setup of them maybe breaking up felt real. I mean,
did think that Andre did not, I think that's his name. Andre, is that his name?
Yes, that's his name.
Wanted to do it later or maybe didn't want to do it at all. And it did come up in a way that I felt was like, oh shit, okay, it's happening now.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, they were just in such a romantic setting. They were at the top of the Eiffel Tower in Vegas. Where you
I love
see,
that Cameron was like, I'm going to take you to Paris. And Andre's first response was
Paris, Texas?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
No. And I mean, look, it's very romantic up there. It's all sand and dust as far as the eye can see. And okay, so then Cameron's like, we flirted. They met at DragCon. That, okay, look, I say this with no judgment. There's something, it's basic. There's something very basic about dating someone you met at a meet and greet.
At a meet and greet?
Right?
Well, this brings up an interesting question because I think in the last episode with Vanjie, right? Looking for love. Was that the last episode?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm tired of that Vanjie storyline because that's literally her legacy on Drag Race. It's like dating everybody, which is sad because Vanjie is more than that, obviously.
Obviously.
But it brings that, I don't know about you, but you're taking fish. It's this idea of fan versus romantic prospect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that blurring the line. And they talk about it in this episode, that idea of like the etiquette of dating someone who's a fan of yours before they've met you, really, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's a wild thing. Like, if you were in that position, would you be opposed to dating someone who's like, I'm a fan of you?
Girl, that's been like a weird thing that I have of just like feeling so weird about dating people who seem interested in me because they've seen my shows or like know who I am. Like, first of all, I'm nobody. I'm like a freaking F level, not even.
Oh my God.
Let's be real. A Y level.
Oh my God. You are nothing. But you are trash.
I'm absolutely nothing. I'm a speck of dust.
You're a bug. I've met plastic bags more fascinating than you. So let's get that.
So also you've met the plastic bag in American Beauty?
Yeah. So let's get it together. If you want to read, let's get it together before you want to start reading. No, you are a star, but go ahead.
But, you know, I have had people like DM me or like send me stuff on the apps being like, I've seen you in your show. And like, that's already a red flag for me. It's because it's like, I don't know. I don't want to mix that. I don't want to mix those lives together, you know?
Sure.
And that just feels so weird to me. However, I'm thirsty as hell.
Yeah.
I'm like the damn desert. And, you know, I want to get down, you know?
Yeah.
I
want
to get down. So there is and that's not to say that a fan doesn't evolve into something more than that, obviously.
Right.
But there's always that weird, always that weird thing.
They look like a cute couple, I will say.
They do. It is very much for me, from my perspective, as someone who is not hot. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be honest. You know, I'm hot in a sort of like, you're going to have to do a bit of research.
Yes, I hear you. I always describe myself as like not sex adjacent, but like. Stunning for unattractive. I don't know what it is. Something.
Yes.
I'm
sexy,
going,
not
going.
Adjacent, but like in the neighboring town. That's where I reside. You know what I mean?
I'm the hottest guy you could consider maybe wanting to fuck.
Right. I'm the hottest guy you refuse to make eye contact with.
Yeah. When it comes to unfuckable people, I'm at the top. I'm like, they're like
100%. That's where I am too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's real. I mean, it's good to know that, like, look, we're not at fuckboy status. That's not our journey. That's not our journey.
The thing with Andre and Cameron to me are like, they're at that, like, so pretty. It's like fantasy world for me. Like, those are the kind of.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, all of the queens on the show are in that level of like, oh my gosh, but Cameron and Andre to me are like that sort of fake couple that lives in my dreams or my nightmares. And honestly, both.
Really both. Hot and cold Freddy Krueger, dream nightmare. I hear you.
And so a lot of their interactions to me also felt so like, wow. Is this how hot people talk to each other?
Yeah, and the answer is yes. Number one answer is yes.
It's
because
so fascinating.
When he was
that.
Like, he's so funny.
Oh, he wanted girl. To be like, oh my
where?
God.
Where
no,
are
that's
the
to
jokes?
To them, that's funny. But for them,
where
that's
funny.
Where
are the jokes? it was funny to them. I think they're stunning. I agree. He is, man, they are
They're
both
funny because
just...
they make faces in front of Times Square. Y'all didn't see that picture?
Oh, God. I saw
they
that
They make funny
picture.
Faces. They're funny because they're hot people willing to look ugly for
that
a picture.
Is, and my, and man, I love that. I love that that is ugly. It's like, oh, you think that's what ugly is?
I hate it. I am, I'm new to the whole TikTok thing because I'm 7,000 years old. But
sure.
The most frustrating and hilarious thing that I found, because the cool thing about TikTok is that it's catered to you in a in a really scary way.
True.
In a way that targeted ads on Instagram are, like, very, very scary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they definitely looked at me and they were like, this bitch is a bear TikTok bitch.
Uh-huh.
So I got a lot of those bear TikTok videos.
This bitch is the kind of bear who won't shut up about Power Rangers and needs you to know about the B story on every episode of Naruto. That's who this
I mean, where's the lie, truly? But in those, there's like they're the hottest fucking bears you've ever seen in your damn life. Mm-hmm. But most of those videos are like, look how weird I am. Look at these weird faces that I make. And I'm like, girl, that world is such a fantasy life for me. Like those ugly faces you make on Instagram, that's me trying to look hot. Like that's where I am.
Totally.
At.
That is.
And Cameron and Andre are the same type of gay.
They are just like me and you. We're just like them. I mean, even though our underwear pictures keep getting reported.
To the CIA.
Yeah, for spreading hate speech. Oh my God. So we're back in the dressing room. Cameron is shocked to see that Asia's left. Okay. Naomi sees the blank space and asks the blank space a question.
It's very funny.
And Derek's like, I'm going to say something. And Vanjie's like, this is ridiculous. Vanjie's advice is no more slumber parties, push through, do jumping jacks, take a shot, play with your asshole.
Vanjie has the best talking heads, I will say. She's very, very funny.
Very, very funny. She needs her own little show. Wait, what reality show should she honestly have? I mean,
what you gonna say?
I don't want to say, I know we just said we need to get away from dating, but how good?
Oh my God, I was about to say Shot of Love with Tila Tequila, bitch. Uh-huh. Wow.
I know.
I mean, what I meant to say was Flavor of Love style.
Yeah.
Or I Love New York style, you know?
Absolutely. That's exactly the first one that came to my mind. I'm now trying to think of a good name for it. You know,
Mrs. Vanjie.
That is good. Mr. and Mrs. Vanjie.
Ooh, we found it. Hey, VH1, you listening?
Yeah, I like you listening. No, because they're on the World of Wonder app and then they got confused because fucking Drag Race Holland isn't available in the Netherlands if you have WoW. Did you know that?
What kind of fuckery? Is this?
I don't know, but I'm fixing to call him out. So Asia's talking. Oh my God, Derek goes to talk to Asia, and Asia walks past Derek like she's a ghost.
I mean, I love that so much. Derek might be a nice. Hey, listen, Derek might be a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
He might.
Yeah, he was lovely. He came on our podcast once.
Oh, okay. Well, cue.
But he knows what he did. He knows what he did. So go ahead and say it.
Well, I'm just saying on TV, Derek Barry is catered to be. And I think that's a reputation that Derek Barry feels very comfortable living in as a shit starter on any respective series that he's in. That's why you bring Derek Barry.
That's why you bring
to start shit.
That's why you bring her. Derek. It's like, you know what? This is a really nice picnic. We have, I brought sandwiches. I have drinks. Oh, I got the nice blanket. Do we need a rabid ferret? Like, should we just to make this picnic a little more fun, should we get a rabid
ferret that claims they try to do well? They try to do good. They try to fix things.
That's what a rabid ferret who's like, I'm just saying what we're all thinking.
Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, foaming at the
tearing
mouth.
Tearing shit apart.
With a severed hand in its mouth. so here we go. So, okay, so they're talk. I mean, of course, Cameron, they even before we get to the Paris hotel, they talk about being noncommittal in the gay dating world. Opinion.
Well, it was Cameron was giving us mixed messages here.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cameron was saying, like, oh, I don't like to put labels on it, the person that I'm quote-unquote dating, seeing, whatever,
mm-hmm.
on one side of the coin. But then you flip over that coin, then you see her be, like, sort of very, like, oh, this person, I could see the rest of my life with this person. Like,
right.
I love this person, blah, 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 blue, blue, blue.
Mm-hmm.
So it does come from that toxic gay parasite that is commitment. You're like the fear of commitment, right? Of
yeah.
That. And Cameron does bring it up. And
what's wrong with us? Why can't we commit?
I mean, it's. Do you think there's validity in Cameron's statement?
Yes. I think a lot of gay men have a fear of committing.
Why?
I think it's probably connected to the way we are socialized and sexualized. Like, because I just like coming up, just like even like trying to find your sense of self, like no matter what age you're at, you're trying to make, we're nomads. We're sexual nomads. And you're like basically setting up camp in a world where you are not allowed to set up camp. Do you know what I mean? Like there's no model or influence for permanent, healthy, like, gay relationships. There's no role model, which means, you know, in this weird metaphor, there are no stable homes that invite that kind of thing. So I think a lot of gay men are like, fuck it, I'm a nomad. I'm going to kind of just, like, I'm going to kind of walk around the dick desert catching some squirt.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Doesn't that sound fun?
Some squirt soda?
Some squirt soda. Hey, you know that ain't pee. That's... Damn it. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that... Well, or do you think it's bullshit?
I think... Okay. No, I don't think there... I think there's something really true. Again, this is from a perspective of incredibly hot people who are, you know, hot as hell and have the... I'm going to say the privilege of... being seen as sexually attractive, so they get a lot of sexual attention, you know?
Yeah.
So, yes, from that perspective, okay, I understand it is hard in that circle of the queer community to be monogamous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is some truth to the idea of us as, like, us as queer people, a lot of, I mean, most of our identity is tied to our sexual preference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our identity is... our sexual identity. At least that's the way that we've conceived it since we were like kids.
Right.
That point of transition. Right. And you look at like, for me, during my generation, like Queer as Folk was like.
Generation Next?
What?
Generation Next?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Okay. I yield my time. I yield
it. What the fuck are you talking about?
I yield my time. I yield my time to the congressman.
What is Generation Next?
From Los Feliz.
People want to know. The people want to know.
You remember the Pepsi campaign, Generation Next?
You're sad.
Where the
You're a sad little hoe.
I hate you so
what
fucking
a
much.
Sad.
You
sad
are
little man.
You are so tough. I thought this was a safe space to make Spice Girl references.
This shit is sad.
I thought
bitch.
This was a nice safe space to reference the Spice World movie. I guess I was wrong. I was wrong. Okay.
No, yes, sure. Sure, Generation Next, of course.
I
yes,
hate
Mono.
You.
Yes, girl. Yeah,
well,
girl,
on
yes,
that
yes.
note.
That's your reference point? Okay, for me, it's Queer as Folk, okay? So.
Ew.
But that was like the show that was prevalent during that time that was like, hey, it's okay to be gay or
prevalent.
Whatever.
Prevalent.
And you need a dictionary, bitch?
I just don't think that's how you pronounce it. I'm sorry. I'm just going to cut. I just want to cut you open. And clearly see you bleed. I'm just...
You know what? Hurt people. It's okay. I accept it.
Ah!
I accept it, bitch.
Hurt people. Okay, wait. We have to go take a break and we'll be right back.
Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain, because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Back my break. We're back. And
wait, you're bringing back your break?
That's what we say on the pod. We say, bring back my break.
I have notes.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. So does everyone else. Everyone, I mean, look, we fully call ourselves out on saying that it does not make sense. So now, okay, look, they're going to Paris. Oh, we have the Evie moment. Evie's looking like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air background actor because she's going to film her rap video, as she calls it, a rap video filming in the casino. And this video is all about her many jobs.
Have you seen this video, Giggin?
What's it called? Have I seen it?
I think it's called Giggin.
I feel like I must have then because this came out months ago.
Yeah, I've seen it. I think longer than that, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
Yeah,
I will say Evie because the Evie storyline is like that she wants to be a rap artist.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, you know, I get a little like, when people from Drag Race segue into having like music careers because it's hit or miss. You know what I mean? The hits are your Adore Delano's, I'm going to say it, Blair St. Clair.
Work. Yeah, I think that's correct.
You know what I mean? Your Shea Coulee's, like, those are the wins.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, everything else is
there's
a loss.
Good ones. Okay, you're coming for Jujubee and Sharon Needles and Jinx
Monsoon.
I
didn't know Jujubee had a musical career. But
she has a little bit
the
of
other
a musical
ones,
career.
Yes, I am coming for them.
Ooh. Wait, Bob, I enjoy Bob the Drag Queen and Monet Exchange quite a bit. They're great.
I have not heard. I have not heard them, their music. So
you would love it.
No opinions to that. But okay. I do love Bob and Monet. So
work.
But Evie, I gotta say, is a win for me. Have you seen her video and the song Hype?
I think I like that one more.
I love that. Is unabashedly like a bop with a capital B-O-P.
Uh-huh.
Evie, if you're listening to this, I'm obsessed with your music.
Love.
It's like, it's good. Love. And the video for that is so fucking amazing. I love it. Vanjie's in it. Vanjie has a little, like, she sings the freaking bridge of that song, and it's so good.
Love. Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. That's when they're partying in the club. It's kind of like the top four of season 11.
And Soju's there.
And Soju.
And Soju's there. And I'm happy Soju's there.
Soju's in my top four. I think she was robbed. I think Soju is the most robbed queen in Drag Race herstory.
Yeah, Soju isn't in my top four, but her sis is.
Oh, my God. Her Miley Cyrus lip sync will go down in history as one of the most cursed pieces of film that's ever been recorded. Now, I want to say, Evie, so she's talking about how this music video is about her many jobs. It just made me laugh because all the outfits she's wearing do not describe the jobs that she has.
Well, they're all, I mean, she really worked at a craps table. Like, Evie, you really, girl? Really? Okay.
Based on the looks, it looks like she was a Hudson News salesperson.
Oh my Lord. Oh my god.
So now Cam
got
is,
her.
Got her. Yeah. I showed that internationally successful drag queen. So Cam is surprised. They're going to Paris. They're up at the top. Gorgeous view. We have our breakup scene. Let's talk about it. I was impressed. I'm not impressed. That's such a cruel word to use. I was taken aback and appreciative of the raw emotion I was seeing from Cameron Michaels, who's never emotional.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's so funny because what were your thoughts on Cameron during her run at Drag Race?
I was surprised. Like, when I first saw her, I was like, this girl will not go far. I really didn't. I didn't get it. And then about halfway through, really, when I started seeing her lip sync, I was like, okay, yeah, she's good at that. But I will say, like, yeah, she's one of those queens who, like, I don't necessarily think should do All-Stars, because I don't think she would do, I guess her runways would be good, and if they did Lip Sync for Your Legacy, she could probably show out, but she wouldn't be good at the challenges. I don't think she was great at them, at an acting challenge.
You know what's so funny about Cameron? First of all, Cameron on her season, I was like, ugh, what, truly? Whatever. I was so over her. Because that had a really good cast. Mm-hmm. And to me, Cameron was just like, "What? Why is she there? She's not, like, interesting to me." And I think it was because she was so preoccupied with her image.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That she didn't want to, like, you know, say anything out of line or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the way that Cameron acted in her season was exactly Asia's personality out of Drag Race.
Like,
super controlling, very much like, I have to be perfect at everything.
I see that.
And then it sort of did a little switch on this show. Like, I'm so glad I got to watch this show because I'm able to see Cameron loosen up a little bit and be like an actual human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Cameron on this show. Cameron is like so, I mean, I'm like rooting for her. She's like the one that I'm like obsessed with, the like more than Naomi, which is crazy because she seemed so real and she's like funny in her.
You know what? Yeah, she's
way.
Yeah.
Like, she's great. Like, she's great on the show, and her like being super vulnerable in this moment. Like, I was impressed. I was very impressed that Cameron was able to show that vulnerability because she never showed it on her season of Drag Race.
Uh-huh. Totally. Totally. Yeah, no, it's wild to see. So, I mean, it's kind of exciting to see her do this. I do like her a lot. I like her lip syncs on, like, just online and on social media. Like, her...
Oh, she's great. By the way, follow her on TikTok. She's
really
the best.
She's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too damn old, so I see whatever TikTok she did on Instagram later.
Oh, you're a Reels bitch. Huh?
Yeah, I'm a Reels bitch.
Okay.
I can't with Reels. So we're at Naomi's house, and it's the nicest house in the cast. And of course, she says, my apartment they gave me wasn't fierce.
Yeah, what is that about?
Yeah.
What do you think happened there?
I mean, I think it's exactly like her apartment was probably just like Cameron's. It was like this cookie cutter apartment that they either offered, or they were like, look, we'll either offer you this housing or you can get the money. You can get the money we would, and you can find your own place. And she was probably the only person who was like, I'll do the work to get my own place. Because like Cameron said, you're moving all the time. Like, I could see taking the easier housing option.
That's true. That's true. Now, would you have done what all the queens did, or would you have done what Naomi did?
I mean, after you see Naomi's house, you are like, shit, that's noise.
I know.
But I mean, I would be tempted. If I'm moving all the time, I would be tempted to just live in an easy apartment.
Oh, me too. I would have done that. I mean,
yeah.
Less work for me.
Less work. So they have a talk about how Asia's shut down. They're talking about her. Yeah. And then, of course, Vanjie's like, it was just weird. The timing was shitty, Derek. The timing, you know, we were sucking toes and kissing dancers. And then you're like, let's talk about this drama.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cameron, yeah, so that's kind of what Cameron says too. Cameron's like, why did we bring it up then?
Well, Cameron is like fresh off from being, you know, heartbroken. So she's feeling some kind of way. And she's bringing that energy into this conversation.
Because
this is a very un-Cameron-like behavior, I gotta say.
Uh-huh, it is.
She was really feeling her feelings and lashing out at Derek, which, thank God.
Right?
Because Derek needed to hear that.
It was almost at the level when, you remember, which I mean is heartbreaking now, but remember when Asia got really emotional when like
the
Vixen stormed out? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Man, all the complicated conversation around that moment and that season, I think it's very interesting that it is now more pertinent than ever.
100%.
And I think they touch on it later in this season when they do a weird coronavirus wrap up, but like, it's so interesting to see that they did do the Vixen a dirty, it would seem to me.
Oh, I think so.
And I do too.
The thing with the Vixen is that she said it so eloquently in, I believe it was an Untucked, where it's like...
It's eloquently, but keep going.
Excuse me. Yeah, so eloquently in that sequence with her confrontation with Aquaria, that was like, that's it. Like, that's like that statement was encapsulated what it was like to be a BIPOC in the reality TV universe, you know? And Asia heard that. And also, Asia is sensitive to that. Being a Black drag queen in Drag Race, like, they get a lot of shit for being Black.
Yeah. And she was emotional because she just got notified that she's going to have to pay for 1,000 butterfly funerals.
Oh my God.
So I think that was also part of it. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I am constantly derailing you for no good reason. Like, for absolutely no good reason. So... No, you're 100%.
Oh, you bringing butterflies to this conversation.
I just couldn't.
Bringing the damn butterflies.
She will never live
that down.
No.
She will never. In her life, live that down.
Unless she owns it. Unless she owns it.
She needs to do some sort of butterfly look on All Stars 6.
I want her to walk into the workroom as a zapped butterfly, like on...
She needs to come in. Girl, she needs to plop from the ceiling.
That's it.
As a dead butterfly.
Right. Like, freshly killed by one of those, like, blue light bug zappers. and she says, I'm back again. Or she could say, no, I hate that.
What?
I'm thinking of a cocoon pun, and I'll get back
to
you.
No, Jasmine Masters took the cocoon look.
Oh, you're right, because she emerged.
You can't top that cocoon look. You can't top that cocoon look.
You cannot. There's never been a more stunning butterfly look. except for, oh my God. Okay, so Cam, so Cam is like, stop bringing up petty shit. And Derek, and she's like, and Cameron's like, I did it throughout my season. I never brought drama. And this is one of my favorite moments. Derek adds, yeah, you did make it through your season with very little dialogue.
Which she really let her have it. I mean,
that
wow.
was funny.
Because you don't, yeah, she's like, because you don't talk. You don't say anything. You that, don't.
That also affirms Eric Berry's worldview that we are delivering dialogue on a television show. And you need to get your dialogue in. I can't believe you forgot your lines. So, okay. Cam, there we go. This is just tomfoolery. Cam says Derek is the root of the problems. Yeah, then she comes clear.
Which is true.
She's like, Cam's like, I'm having a hard day. And Derek's like, go on. Yeah. She's like,
oh no, another opportunity for Derek to be like, let me see if I can, in heavy quotations, fix this.
And she's like, I got broken up with on top of the Eiffel Tower, the most romantic place. Oh my God. So this talk is not about Asia after all. She's saying Cam's like, I'm back on the market. And Vanjie's like, do not let homegirl set you up with anyone. She will set you up with someone nasty.
As we all know from the last episode. Jeez, yes. Louise.
Jeez.
So fucking rude. I would hate to have a friend like Derek Berry.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough. All of that drama. So we see Cam get a little excited when she's like, it's all that top energy. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Gay phrases. Once again, the kind of gay comedy we expect from this kind of gal.
Right. Yes, this is top tier comedy from Cameron Michaels.
So Cameron's back at work, clocked in, and we see a little bit of her performing in a Rita Repulsa outfit. And
every outfit she has is a Rita Repulsa outfit.
That is
which
so
I stand.
True.
That bitch, is true. Don't get it twisted. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, that is good.
Cameron Michaels lives in that like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers like universe that I am a huge fan of.
I know.
Excuse me, bitch.
I know.
Yo, listeners, you could hear Mono's crusty ass eyelids rolling. You heard that machinery? Her eyes rolling.
That rotted, gutted old machine. I like to call my head. Okay. We get to hear RuPaul's Get Your Rebel On for the 498th time on a Drag Race series. Love it. Love it.
Well, it's like, what? We don't ever get to hear the songs that they perform, which is frustrating to me because I'm like, what are they doing? Why can't we see a performance? And I guess, yes, you're right. The royalty is blah, 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 all that
blah,
stuff.
Blah, it's like, blah,
just chill out a couple more bucks. You got music playing throughout the episodes. It's
I
like,
know.
Would it kill you to like play, I don't know, whatever song they're performing to? Like,
I know.
I want to know. I want to know what their Vegas show is.
I know. And, you know, but this whole, I don't know how much money they made on this Vegas review show, but it has to be a positive because the amount of money they spent on creating it is almost, think, I actually looked it up on IMDb. It cost them $43 to film all of the 6 episodes of Vegas review. Isn't that interesting?
Oh my God, how dare you?
So they're back in the dressing room. Wow. Oh my God. Wait, what about this scene where Cameron's tucking and we get to see her pretty very naked?
Yes.
My God.
Cameron is trade. She's trade.
Stunning. I was really.
Let's be real and upfront about that shit. She's trade.
She's stunning. That was. And I honestly also want to say thank you, editors, for whatever. Whatever bargain basement blur effect you used that kind of hid nothing, thank you. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Thank you to the intern who was working on the censoring that
right?
day.
Right? So Naomi uses ice to shrink her dick for her tuck. Have you ever? I have never heard such a tactic.
Mm-mm.
I've never. What?
Huh? I was scribbling. I was taking notes. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, that's... That's gag. That's a gag. Me and you both have the worst tucks in the business.
We got what they call a butcher's tuck.
back fat, prime rib. just whatever, all the meat you find on the floor of the butcher.
Exactly.
That's our tuck.
All in between our thighs.
Now Asia is getting very emotional and we're kind of hearing more about her story and find out that, like, you know, she has some baggage with her parents, obviously, because her parents kind of sent her away at a very strange age. This is really sad and gives us a little bit of a background on why she's having a hard time with just anyone distancing from her.
Right. And tied that to the fact that she's so reticent about sharing her stuff, her like past life, like she lived on. Anyway, her past.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of like having so much trauma and then not wanting to talk about said trauma that makes it like Asia's starting to make more sense to me now.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
So there's a lot of repressed shit happening. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, taking it out on herself and other people. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. What a queen. And honestly, if the show was longer, I think we could have seen more of a fulfilling evolution with her and the girls. But obviously, the series gets about to get cut real quick because we have two more episodes and they're not much to them. I haven't seen both of them, but we know there's not much going to happen.
Well, it's like COVID happens and then there's the aftermath of that.
So exactly.
Like that's the seventh girl Las Vegas review is Miss Corona.
Miss Coronavirus. Yeah, no, Miss Coronavirus. And with her workroom entrance was like,
oof. Well, it was distracting to say the least.
Distracting. Very overproduced. Come on, 2020, let's get terrible.
Come on, 2020, let's get sick.
Dun, dun. So Derek doesn't want to lose the laughs and the smiles. Stage manager's here. Okay, the drama with the stage manager who's like, what are y'all doing?
Oh, yeah.
This sucks. This is terrible.
What's his name again?
Randy. He might be like the
tour. They were all so scared of Randy.
He might be like the tour manager, and then the other gentleman's the stage manager. I forget.
Yes.
But.
I think so.
They have to have a talk. Never cute. Never cute.
Oh, no. They're in trouble.
When you're like, we just want to do our job, and then the person is like, hey, you children, we have to talk about how you're acting like children.
Who said it? Who said the principal's office thing? That resonated so hard with me. Naomi, I think, of course. Was like, you know, we got sent to the principal's office, so we in trouble now.
Have you ever been sent to a principal's office?
I'm a good girl.
Shut up. Yes, you have.
Of course I have.
You have.
Have you?
Yes, of course I have. But you, I know you. You are such a shit starter. You are.
Me?
You basically.
Woo! Never!
But you've kissed a girl, right? Oh my God. The most iconic quote in RPDR history.
The best. The only quote, in my opinion.
The only quote. Yes, of course. I was making fun of a girl who bullied me. And I just said every vulgar word I've ever heard. And they made no sense. They made no sense. And then I had to get to the principal's office and she was like, which of these words did you say? And of course I had to be like, oh, I said that, but I said it to a person who's been tormenting me. And it was basically like, oh, we don't care. She came to us first. So she wins. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What'd you get up there for?
Oh girl. I mean, I was okay. So like in elementary school, I was a demon. I'm gonna tell you this. I ran the damn school. And I'll tell you why. Because I was little and I was very shy. And of course, you know, I masked all that hate with, you know, I had a lot of insecurities about who I was. So what I did was I became friends with the bully, the biggest kid in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I became his friend. And I mean, I hate to say this, but I manipulated him to beat other kids up. So like I would tell, his name is Christian. I'd be like, Christian, I don't like the way Steven's looking at me. Beat him up. And he did. And then, you know, I got in trouble for being a fucking mastermind.
Holy
and like,
shit.
You know.
Holy shit.
So yeah,
shit.
For some serious shit. Yeah. I was a
You are like a real like mafia, like.
Oh, yes. Girl, it got so intense. I started, this is, fuck. I have some supervillain tendencies, I'm telling you this. But it got so bad. I got so greedy with power that I would tell kids to be like, give me something, give me a present, or else Christian will beat you up. And I would get free shit.
You're that girl. I knew you were. I knew you were that girl.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And I remember one iconic time, this kid, his name was Steven, he brought me a Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd coloring book. And just to fuck with him, I ripped it in front of his face.
Oh, my God.
And I told Christian to beat him up. And he did.
Oh, my God.
And at that moment, And then, you know what happened? I came to the U.S. because this was in Colombia.
Uh-huh.
I came to the U.S. In middle school. So that shit was a trip going through puberty. And karma is real.
Wow.
So I was at top of the food chain in Colombia. And in the U.S., I was way in the bottom. And,
they got you together.
They all let me have it. And that is why I will never be evil. Because
so basically,
karma is real.
You were... Your childhood was the Serena Cha-Cha of experiences. You came in there talking about soft sculpture and your art school experience and only being 21 once and getting on the show once when you're 21 once.
You know, I hate it, but it's true. It applies.
It's true. And then, then they saw you. Ooh, they saw you. And they told me
to sit my ass down.
They sat you down in the Interior Illusions Lounge and they said, sit your ass down and shut the fuck up, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Me coming into America looking like a damn weird Pinocchio.
Oh, that's pretty much all that happened. And then Asia talks to her fiance. And the fiance's like, is everything cool? And she's like, everybody's good.
Oh my gosh, yes. But then that moment was really poetic because we learned that Asia didn't learn her lesson at all.
No.
Like she could be vulnerable. She could open up to her damn fiance.
Her fiance.
And she chose not to do that.
Be open.
She didn't learn her lesson. It's a sad ending, actually.
It is sad. I guess hopefully we get some resolution in the next episode. Yeah. Yeah. This is weird. Just be a little more honest. And, you know, they're like, we're going to be better sisters. I hope so.
You know that won't happen.
Yeah.
Well,
you're
with two episodes left, I don't know. Who knows?
Corona will
bring them all together. That's the outcome of this.
That. That is real, real, real. That is it, Oscar. You know, we actually have something to plug before we go.
Oh my God, we do. And isn't it funny?
Yes.
That they talk about Evie's music video.
Mm-hmm.
Because that to me, I was like, oh shit.
This is a connection. Me and Oscar, we'll be dropping in November a podcast and YouTube channel all about finding... and defining the definitive top 100 music videos ever.
That's right. Mono and I have a music video podcast for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been such a fun ride.
It's been so fun. We're getting our episodes together. We're getting our jush on lock. Mm-hmm. What is it called, Oscar?
It's called Podcast Killed the Video Star.
That's right. It's on Instagram and YouTubes and Apple Podcasts. Now, why Instagram's important is because when you go to our Instagram, that's where you're going to be able to vote every single week for which one of the three videos we review should progress into the definitive top 100 music video list.
That's right. So the way that the podcast works is... we nominate three videos to be in the top 100 list.
Mm-hmm.
And I nominate a video, Mono nominates a video, and then the third one is sort of a grab bag.
Yeah, like it can be the audience, it can be our guest, and it can just be one that we deem Yas worthy.
Exactly. And then you guys will vote which of the three will make it to the top 100 countdown. And then after that, we then put everything in sequential order. So...
Mm-hmm.
That's y'all have a lot to do with this music video. So,
that's right.
You know, vote.
Vote.
And vote wisely.
Vote wisely. Yes, we're really excited to share it with y'all. It's going to be such a good time. It's just going to be so fun.
It's so fun.
I love yelling at this bitch right here sitting in front of me.
I know. I love making fun of your, you know, musical tastes.
Oh, good God. We are on different ends of the spectrum. So catch us there, find us online, and for updates in the meantime, follow me on social media at Mono Agapian. And how about you, Oscar?
You can follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O, on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, listen to all of Oscar's pods. Yeah, like Spanish Aki Presents.
Yes, okay, girl, yes, PR person.
Come on.
Yeah, Spanish Aki Presents, it's one of the first and only Latinx comedy podcast shows. It's great, mm-hmm. It's fantastic. I also host a podcast called Inside the Disney Vault, which is a Disney podcast where the original concept was we watch every single Disney animated movie in chronological order, but we've surpassed that. And now we're watching Disney Channel original movies, which has been a trip.
Hell yeah.
So get into that gig.
Get into that gig. And as long as we're plugging, I'm going to keep plugging. I want y'all to find me on Patreon at We Love Trash. Me and Betsy are doing spooky episodes all month long. And even more additionally, if you didn't have enough content and you need more content, y'all can find me on Stitcher Premium. Me and Betsy are bringing it back. We're doing a podcast called The Resurrection, where we talk about all things spooky, ooky, kooky, and dumb. And if you've been haunting for humps, you have to check it out. It's dropping on October 6th for a 9-ep run every Tuesday and Thursday. Ding!
You busy as hell.
Girl, just blessed trying.
Blessed and booked.
Blessed and booked, trying to keep it busy in this strange. I need to be distracted by absolutely everything else. We love y'all, listeners. Thank you for listening and giving us reviews on the Apple Podcasts. Drop us one on Apple Podcasts. We will read them live on the air. So I really love reading them. I'm going to read one real quick, real tight, quick one from Unicorn, LOL. It says, yes. I would say sashay away, but I'ma say this pays all day.
Okay, get this person a writing job on Drag Race.
Immediately! Thank you, Unicorn LOL. We love you, and we love everyone who's listening. Go vote and be gaggy. Bye, Oscar.
Bye, Mono. Still about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.